You have a choice. You can be pardoned. You can be forgiven because Jesus took God's wrath on the cross, or you can bear it yourself for all eternity. And God doesn't take pleasure in that, by the way, but it is just and right. And that's the attitudes that we need to have. We need to groan over those going to hell. We need to also affirm that God is just and right in what he does.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina.
And Dave, it's Letter Day. And I have a phone comment from a dear friend of this ministry, Bernadette in Kansas. She says, it's so rare for someone to teach verse by verse. I love it. It is greatly needed today. Well, Bernadette, thank you so much for your support and encouragement of this ministry. We are so thankful for the privilege to share God's word verse by verse. And yes, it is so greatly needed. So thank you so much for your encouragement and support. And folks, I just want to encourage you, if this broadcast is blessing you, let us know. Send us a letter, send us an email, leave a phone message for us. We would so greatly appreciate it. And I'd also like to ask our listeners, when you're blessed by this ministry, would you call the radio station that is airing it and let them know that you're being blessed by Equipping the Saints? That would be a blessing for us and for them. Okay, with this in mind, we're in the last portion of Ezekiel chapter 20, moving into chapter 21. So let's turn there as we begin.
Well, be sure to stay with us for the end of today's broadcast. Greg will join us in studio with some practical application, and I'll also be back with information on how you can obtain messages from the series for your own library. Now, let's join Greg for today's teaching.
So I believe it's what we saw earlier in the book of Ezekiel. Remember, he was a watchman? Where there were those who were outwardly wicked in the land, and there were those who were righteous, but it was just external. They were those who were righteous in their actions, but they weren't righteous in heart. You might remember we saw that back in Ezekiel chapter 3. So then, the passage is clear. He says, all flesh, my sword shall go forth, end of verse 4, from its sheath against all flesh from south to north. His judgment's going to be comprehensive. Everyone's going to be judged. It's going to be by the sword of Babylon through the Lord. He's going to destroy the inhabitants. Now, you might remember also how gracious God is. Back in chapter 9, there was the man in linen with the writing case. It was an angel who was to mark out the heads of those who mourned over sin with the Hebrew letter Tau, looks like a cross, by the way, to mark them out that they would not be judged. God does not judge those who are his. There is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. They're protected. But those who are not, there is a sweeping, all-encompassing judgment. And for them here, he says, all flesh. He says, thus, verse 5, all flesh will know that I am the Lord and have drawn my sword out of its sheath. It will not return to its sheath again. The reality is, as we've seen throughout Ezekiel, then you will know that I am the Lord. There are two ways in which we come to a true knowledge of the Lord. Some people say, hey, Lord, Lord, I know you, but they don't know him. There are two ways mankind comes to know the Lord. One is through faith in Jesus Christ. We come to know him as Lord. But there's also ways we've seen Ezekiel that when one rejects God's provision of salvation, you will know the Lord is the Lord when he judges you. You will know it. There will be no doubt. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. The reality is, if you haven't repented of your sin and placed your faith in Jesus, the seed of Abraham, in whom all the nations will be blessed, if you haven't done so, if you die, it's too late. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 says, for if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, and that talks about just not loving and being with the brethren. Hey, if I continue in sin willingly after coming to the knowledge of the truth, not being saved, he says there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain terrifying expectation of judgment. The reality is it is appointed man once to die and then the judgment. Everyone who rejects Jesus will be judged. And God is gracious to warn us. He made him who knew no sin, that's Jesus, to be sin on our behalf. He took our sin on his body on the cross that we might become the righteousness of God. You might remember with Abraham, he was told to take his son to sacrifice him, and the Lord stopped him, and he provided a substitute. The Lord will provide. You see, God's judgment must come forth. A righteous judge must judge. A righteous God, a holy God. And so he sent his son Jesus. And he bore our punishment on the cross. He bore God's judgment and wrath for sin. He took the full cup of God's wrath. And if you reject that, then you are on your way to God's judgment. And rightfully so. But what should be our attitude towards that? I think we have the wrong attitudes at times towards judgment. We're going to see. Notice we have the proper response illustrated here. As for you, Son of Man, verse 6, groan with a breaking heart and bitter grief, groan in their sight. This is those people who say, it's just parables. You're not going to judge. It's just parables. It's stories. And it will come about when they say to you, why do you groan? This is the middle of 7. That you will say, because of the news that is coming, every heart will melt, all hands will be feeble, every spirit will faint, all knees will be weak as with water. Behold, it comes, and it will happen, declares the Lord God. Ezekiel's commanded to groan and to have a bitter grief and groan in their sight, a breaking heart. And folks, I believe that's the heart we should have towards coming judgment. God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. It should grieve our hearts that people reject Christ and will go to judgment. It should grieve our hearts. We should be broken over it. And again, he says, and when they come about and say, why do you groan? Ezekiel's to publicly tell them why. Because of the news that's coming. This is the dreadful news of judgment that he's been telling them. Every heart will melt, all hands will be feeble, every spirit will faint, all the knees will be weak. They were in their pride thinking nothing's going to happen, but God was going to bring a sweeping judgment upon them where everyone would know that it was happening. They're going to be shocked. And I believe people will be shocked when they open their eyes in Hades, like the rich man and Lazarus will be shocked. The reality is, if you don't repent, you'll be judged. It's a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. He talks about hearts will melt, hands will be feeble. That means they're just going to have no strength. Every spirit will faint, and all knees will be weak as water. Or literally, it says all in Hebrew, all knees will go wet. It's like they're going to urinate on themselves. What's it saying literally in the Hebrew? They're going to be so scared and fearful, they're going to just fall apart in the midst of God's judgment. Terrifying. And end of 7, behold, it comes and it will happen, declares the Lord. I want to share another passage. If you want to turn with me to Isaiah 13, I read part of it earlier, but I want to read part of it. This has to do with the day of the Lord. Very similar. First of all, we have Israel's judgment here in the land, which you see, but it foreshadows what's going to happen in the day of the Lord. And it also foreshadows the reality of what happens when people die and are judged before the Lord. Isaiah 13:6, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. Wail, for the day of the Lord is near. It will come as destruction from the Almighty. Now notice these things sound very similar. Therefore all hands will fall limp, every man's heart will melt, and they will be terrified. Pains and anguish will take hold of them. They will writhe like a woman in labor. They will look at one another in astonishment, their faces aflame. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, cruel with fury and burning anger, to make the land a desolation, and he will exterminate its sinners from it. For the stars of heaven and their constellations will not flash their light. The sun will be dark when it rises, and the moon will not shed its light. Thus I will punish the world for its evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will put an end to the arrogance of the proud, and abase the haughtiness of the ruthless. I will make mortal man scarcer than pure gold, and mankind than the gold of Ophir. Therefore I shall make the heavens tremble, and the earth will be shaken from its place at the fear of the Lord of hosts in the day of his burning anger. When that day comes, it's over. You don't want to get to that day. And for each and every one of us, that day could be today if you haven't come to faith in Jesus. God's word says, it is appointed man once to die, and then the judgment. It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It's terrifying. And he's warning of the eternal judgment. But again, God poured out our sin upon his son. The sinless, spotless Lamb of God bore our sins in his body on the cross. His full wrath for sin, the price was paid on the cross. If you're willing to humble yourself and realize I'm a sinner, I deserve your judgment, and call upon the Lord Jesus, whoever will call upon him will be saved, and you'll be delivered from the wrath to come. Notice back in our passage, verse 8, the sword is made ready. And again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy and say, thus says the Lord, say, a sword, a sharpened sword, and also polished. Sharpened to make a slaughter, polished to flash like lightning. Or shall we rejoice? The rod of my son despising every tree. And it is given to be polished that it may be handled. The sword is sharpened and polished to give it into the hand of the slayer. Now, this has got a bunch of interpretive difficulties, but I think we can understand it. It is in its Hebrew and poetic form here. But here, he's saying, Son of man, prophesy and say, thus says the Lord, a sword, say a sword, a sharpened sword, and also polished. He says, sharpened to make slaughter, polished to flash like lightning. The sword of God's judgment is ready to go. God's patience has run out. You don't know when that day is going to happen. Now notice he says here, and there's a difficult portion to interpret, the middle of verse 10, or shall we rejoice, the rod of my son despising every tree? You go, wait a second, I don't understand this. In the NASB, it doesn't capitalize the word son. In the New King James, it capitalizes the word son. We have the word rod here, which could speak of a shepherd's rod, or could also speak of a scepter from a king. So what's going on here? Well, I believe this term here goes with what we saw in some previous chapters. These exiles were believing that their king was going to save them, that their king was going to deliver them. And I praise the Lord for things happening in government and things changing and things, but don't put your hope in kings. Don't put your hope in presidents. Pray for them. It's the Lord that we put our hope in. We put our hope in the Lord. And so here, he says, or shall we rejoice the rod of my son despising every tree? He's basically in this dark poetic prophecy saying, so you think King Zedekiah is going to deliver you still in the midst of this? You don't get it. The sword is polished. It is sharpened. It is coming, and nothing is going to stop it. The obvious answer here, verse 11, and it is given to be polished that it may be handled. The sword is sharpened and polished and to give to the hand of the slayer. The sword's ready. God doesn't joke around concerning sin and judgment. So what's the proper response? The proper response. Well, notice we have a dichotomy of responses here. Look at, first of all, in verse 12. Cry out and wail, son of man, for it is against my people. It is against the officials of Israel. They are delivered over to the sword with my people. Therefore, strike your thigh. This term, strike your thigh, is almost like beating your breast. You know, like, ah. We should have an attitude of brokenness and heartache over those who are on their way to judgment. We shouldn't be having wrong attitudes towards it. Now, there's a difficult portion here. 13, for there is a testing, and what if even the rod which despises will be no more, declares the Lord. He's basically saying, hey, this king, he's going to be no more. What if that happens? What's your defense now? What's your excuse now? What if your wicked king Zedekiah, whom you trust, is no more? There's going to be total destruction. And again, I mentioned the Lord's heart attitude. God does not take pleasure in the death of the wicked. There are those who rejoice in God's judgment towards people. That is so wrong. They will talk about God and his judgment, which is true, and they'll have an attitude of almost joy and glee about how he'll exterminate sin, whatever it might be. It's wrong. We should have a broken heart over it. God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Do we moan and wail over those unbelievers around us who, in a sense, from a heart attitude, who are on their way to judgment? We need to have a different view. We need to renew our hearts towards those who are around us. But notice, accompanying this grief, there's another action that we should have also. Look at verse 14. You therefore, son of man, prophesy, clap your hands together, and let the sword be doubled the third time, the sword for the slain. It is a sword for the great one slain, which surrounds them, that their hearts may melt and many fall at all their gates. I have given the glittering sword. It is made for striking like lightning. It is wrapped up in readiness for slaughter. He says, prophesy, clap your hands. What are you talking about here? There's an affirmation. Here we have an affirmation of God's judgment. So then what we see here, he's to clap his hands. The sword is going to overwhelmingly do its job of judgment. New King James says that enters their private chambers, but I think the NSB is better here, which surrounds them. So why this intense violence? Verse 15, that their hearts may melt, many may fall at their gates. I have given the glittering sword. It is made for striking like lightning. It is wrapped up in readiness for slaughter. Although they are to mourn deeply over judgment, Ezekiel is also to clap his hands. There is to be an approval of what God is doing. We are to affirm the righteousness of what he does, but with a right heart attitude. When God judges, it is righteous, it is just, it is right. We are not to say, oh, that's not good, he's not loving, he is a loving God. We're not to have an attitude that sees his judgment wrongly, it is just. But we're not to be rejoicing over it, or be grieving over it. God takes no pleasure in it. Unfortunately, these days, many churches do either or of these things. Their hearts break over the loss, yet they don't affirm God's judgment as right. Or they affirm God's judgment as righteous and don't have a broken heart over it. We need to have both. What is your response to God's judgment? What is your response? Look at verse 16. Show yourself sharp. Go to the right. Set yourself. Go to the left, wherever your edge is appointed. I shall also clap my hands together, and I shall appease my wrath. I, the Lord, have spoken. God speaks of the sword of his wrath, in which we'll see next week, comes through Nebuchadnezzar and his armies, his evil armies. His sword, which he will use sovereignly. Show yourself sharp. He's going to bring judgment with that. And God approves of the actions, by the way. He says, I shall also clap my hands together. But it's with a broken heart. He takes no pleasure in it. And notice he says here, and this is really important, and I shall appease or cause to rest my wrath. This term wrath speaks of being hot. It speaks of anger, displeasure, indignation, or wrath. You know, God is a loving God, but he has indignation towards sin every day. You know, some people say, how can God allow those people to suffer so greatly or whatever happens? Why does he allow evil? He has indignation and wrath towards it every day. But he is patient, not willing that any should perish. He is staying his judgment till the point in which it is appointed. I read this earlier, but in Psalm 7, verse 11, God is a righteous judge and a God who has indignation every day. If a man does not repent, he will sharpen his sword. Turn to Romans chapter 2. In Romans chapter 2, we see that the Apostle Paul is making the case that all are under sin, that all are unrighteous, and that they need righteousness. You have the pagan who suppresses the truth and unrighteousness, end of chapter 1, and you have the religious Jew who has rejected Christ, is under judgment also. And within that, he shares a principle. Romans chapter 2. Therefore, you are without excuse, every man of you who passes judgment, for in that you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge, practice the same thing. You do over and over the same things. And we know that the judgment of God rightly falls upon those who practice such things. And do you suppose this, O man, Romans chapter 2, verse 3, when you pass judgment upon those who practice such things and do the same yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath. It's building up every sin, God's wrath. He has indignation every day, building up for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. It says later on, there'll be tribulation and distress for the soul of every man who does evil. God is a righteous God who must judge. And it is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of living God. The Lord Jesus said to his friends, his disciples, he said, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, Luke 12, verse 4, and after that have nothing more they can do. But I warn you to fear him. Fear the one whom after he is killed has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. We know that God has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof by raising him from the dead. God will appease his wrath. His wrath is building up, and his judgment appeases his wrath. And therefore, when he judges, his appointed man wants to die and then the judgment, his wrath is appeased. And you have a choice. You can be pardoned. You can be forgiven because Jesus took God's wrath on the cross. Or you can bear it yourself for all eternity. And God doesn't take pleasure in that, by the way. But it is just and right. And that's the attitudes that we need to have. We need to groan over those going to hell. We need to also affirm that God is just and right in what he does. Because he sent Jesus and they rejected him. So back in our passage to finish up, says verse 16, show yourself sharp, go to the right, set yourself, go to the left, wherever the edge is appointed. And I also shall clap my hands together and I shall appease my wrath. I, the Lord, have spoken. Has God's wrath been appeased in your life? Or will it be appeased over eternity? You see, it's appointed man wants to die and then the judgment. And I've mentioned this throughout, that Jesus Christ died for our sins. He took the wrath of God on the cross. There was a group of idolaters in Thessalonica who turned to God from idols to wait for a Savior from heaven who delivers us from the wrath to come. These same believers were told by Paul that we are not destined for wrath, but for salvation. God's anger was poured out in Christ. He is not angry at us. Now, he can be grieved over sin, but he's not angry. There's no condemnation for those. So how does this apply to us? As believers, we need to have a right view towards God's judgment. It ought to cause us to grieve over those who are going to hell, but we also need to affirm it as just and right. And we need to be ready to share the word of God for those around us, not just be complacent. We need to be ready. Lord, open a door for me to share the truth. Be ready to share why we have hope, to be ready. And then there may be some of you who are here today or will be listening to this message. Again, with our radio ministry, it goes for thousands of people, hear it every day. We want to pray that they hear this truth and they realize if they haven't been saved, that they will be judged. God's wrath will be appeased and you'll be terrified in judgment. But you can turn to Jesus now. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll be saved. Pray you do so.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Ezekiel. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org.
Friend, before we close today's broadcast, I want to talk to you directly about your eternal destiny. If you were to die right now, do you know where you would spend eternity? If you're unsure, here are some important questions to answer. Do you believe that you are a sinner in need of forgiveness, that you've sinned against a holy God? Do you believe that you are unable to do anything about your sinful condition? Do you believe that Jesus is God, that he took on human flesh, that he came and lived the sinless life and went to the cross and died for your sins? He was buried and rose from the dead 3 days later. Do you believe that his work on the cross was sufficient to forgive you of your sins? Are you willing to acknowledge that until you repent of your sins and turn to the Lord Jesus to save you, that you deserve hell and will be sent there? If you believe these things and want to receive Jesus' offer of eternal salvation, then you need to turn to him and ask him. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Father, I thank you so much for your word and your son Jesus. And I pray for those listening today who do not know you, who still are in their sins,
that they would turn from their sin and trust in your Son, Jesus Christ, for salvation, that they would be saved. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your Son, and it is in his name we pray.
If you've taken that eternally important step, we'd love to come alongside you in your new relationship with Christ. So would you take a moment and contact us? We'd like to send you our new believers packet. In that packet, you'll find a message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt, some helpful Bible study tools, and a Bible. It's our gift to you to help you in your new relationship with Christ. You can request your new believers packet online at etsradio.org, or if you prefer, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And from all of us at Equipping the Saints, welcome to the family.